Okay, good. Brother Brown this afternoon is going to serve us again. And the title of his talk is How Sweet It Is. How Sweet It Is. We have a lot of smiling faces, and I know we're going to have an enjoyable talk. Because his wife gave him a lot of encouragement before he came up here. Brother Brown.
Lord bless you.
That was very nice. Appreciate that. Yes, how sweet it is. How good it is to have been able to be here with the brethren in convention this year. And we do especially want to thank our brother and sister Reuben for their hospitality and for all the brethren. We have enjoyed being with each and every one of you, and we hope to see you again soon at another convention. We live from one convention to the next, and how good that is. Certainly, we can say that the Lord has done great things for us. Well, we're glad. One of the great things, the good thing, the sweet thing that we have is meeting together with those of like precious faith. Well, there are many things in addition to being together with one another. We often sing the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one. And to think of the blessings, perhaps we couldn't name them all. In fact, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that love him. And so our angel has been with us even today, these past 3 days. And during this time, these various angels that we've had serving us have told us about the various plans and purposes of God. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can think of these blessings, the blessings of life experience, life itself, the providential overrulings of God in our behalf, how he has led us day by day. And as we think of these experiences, sometimes they are sweet, sometimes they're bitter, but all things are working together for good to those that love the Lord and to those that are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we don't think our experiences are blessings. Sometimes it's difficult to say, why does this happen to me? But all things do work together for good. That scripture was put in there for our benefit. And do we believe it? Yes, we believe it. And then also we can think of the blessedness of knowing of God's gift of his Son as our Redeemer. That we've been called out of the world, called into this marvelous light of the gospel. And who else knows this wonderful gospel? Gospel, the good news of the kingdom? Only a handful in the world. As we mentioned before, their eyes have been blinded, their ears are shut. But brethren, blessed are our eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, where they hear. Yes, we have a blessedness of coming into this covenant relationship with our God. And there are few, very few, that have this privilege of coming into this close fellowship, this sonship with our Heavenly Father. And because of this, of course, the Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts, in our minds. and it's enlightened our minds that we might know something concerning His wonderful divine plan of the ages. Not only of the plan that God has for all mankind, but especially for those of His new creation. Yes, those who, if found faithful, will live and reign with our Lord 1,000 years for the purpose of uplifting mankind, blessing all the families of the earth. And then also we do have a blessedness, a fellowship of the brethren, that fellowship which is a precious thing that only the brethren know. Yes, it's to like to that which is above. And as we have thought of our past 3 days, we can say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here we have been in the house of the Lord with other members of the family of God. Those who have been gathered together for this special occasion of feasting upon fat things, the good things of His Word, realizing that the Lord has been here also. Yes, and as we listen to His voice, remember He says, I, the Lord, am nigh unto them that call upon me. To them that call upon me in truth. And there are not many in the world that have the truth. But here we are. We've been hearing the Word of God, the Creator of the universe. And think of what a tremendous thing that is, that God speaks to us, to those who are His people. And so we pray that we may continually call upon Him in spirit and in truth. And we've had a sumptuous feast these last 3 days. There have been many courses provided. And as the sisters know, to prepare a feast, a fat thing, it takes considerable time. I'm sure that the brethren have spent much time in preparing for this feast. It doesn't take long to consume it. And so these 3 days have gone by very fast. But we have, from the very beginning, from the welcoming address, we heard how that we would hear of these apples of gold, which would be in pictures of silver, this golden fruit of truth. And as we've been feeding upon these golden promises, happy is the man. Happy are we. Yes, we're happy because we've been able to enter into God's rest. And entering into that rest, we have a peace of God that passes all understanding. A peace that the world cannot give. The world can't take it away. And why is this? Because we realize that He died for me. And as our Lord, this one who died for us, we can come into this relationship with our Heavenly Father, and because He did die for us, we can hear Him say, consider what I say. And as we consider the things that He says to us, we think of consecration, we think of baptism. We think of coming into this covenant relationship with God. We've heard something about God's covenant. And as we understand what the covenants of God are all about, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. What a privilege it is to know some of the mysteries of God. These mysteries are His secrets. And sometimes as we were thinking about the mysteries, we were wondering what Simon Magus number 9 was going to come in. But we realize that the mysteries are, if you suffer with me, you shall reign with me. If you live with me, you'll die with me. And knowing all of these things are part of the trial of your faith. And this trial of our faith is a proving of our faith. It's proven day by day. These trials, of course, may be trials, they may be blessings. But we hear all the lessons of the ancient ones of Benjamin and Joseph. And as we hear these, it makes us want to be more faithful ourselves. Can we be as faithful as were they? And so we have to gird our armor on. And having girded our armor on, having done all to stand, and cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And so it is that there is much we must continue to do as we prepare ourselves for the heavenly kingdom, gathering together with the brethren is one of the means that the Lord has provided for this very purpose. And this has been a joyful experience for each one, as is each convention, for those who desire to share the joys of the kingdom. Remember, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some don't feel that they have to really get together. I remember old Brother Magnuson, an old timer. He was giving a lesson one time, and this brother came to him and said, "Brother, I really don't need to meet with the brethren. I've got the volume, got the reprint, got the tabernacle shadows. I have all that I need to study to make myself worthy of the kingdom." I always remember what Brother Magnuson said. His little reply was, "Do you? Do you?" It's so easy to say, "Yes, we'll study." But have you ever sat under a light at night, gone home and sit down to read the volume? So easy to fall asleep, isn't it? The truth does not come easy. The truth is not for the old man, the old mind. It's for the new man, the new creation. And it's this that is being transformed day by day. And so it is that we need to meet together. And the apostle went on to say, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The psalmist gave us a very familiar lesson one of which I'm sure you all recognize when he told us, "Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." This unity is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And so it is that meeting together, we've had the Holy Spirit poured out upon us by coming into this wonderful body of Christ. Many Jewish schools, to distinguish between a brother and one who is merely a neighbor, meant that an Israelite had to be one blood relationship, whereas a neighbor could have been a proselyte. A proselyte, you know, is one who had been converted to the faith. But he wasn't a blood brother. And so neither of these titles was allowed to the Gentiles. And it wasn't until the time of our Lord and the apostles was this familiar title of brother extended to those who are all Christians. Yes, this title of brother was one of respect and affection. And how close a family tie we have with our brethren. It's much closer than our natural relatives. It's our sister Ginger mentioned. Wherever you go, where are the brethren? Where is the family? And so it is that those who are in the family of God, their life blood comes by the grace of God. And this is through the merit of Him who gave Himself for us. And truly, it is said that one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now, how good it has been, how sweet it has been for us to have been dwelling together for these past 3 days. This has been for our spiritual development, for the growth of fruits and graces of the Spirit. And as brethren in the body of Christ, we have drawn ourselves closer together in the family of God. And how good it has been, how sweet it has been, that we have been able to come together to hear those things that are found written in the Word of God, discussing the various facets of truth, learning more of Him and His plan as it relates to the world of mankind, and to do all of this in the spirit of tolerance and goodwill toward all. Yes, the spirit of the truth. You know, we might have the truth, we might have all the knowledge, but it's the spirit of the truth that is just as important. And how good is the blessing of our fellowship of kindred minds. Truly, it's as the hymn that we just sang. And how often do we listen to the words that we sing? so easy to sing and not even pay any attention to the word. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And what is it that does this binding? It's the truth. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. And if we don't have kindred minds, we have little fellowship. Blessed are the sons of peace. For the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God. These whose hopes and hearts are one, whose kind designs to serve and please through all our actions run. Before our Father's throne, we do pour our ardent prayers. We've heard many prayers. Prayers to the Heavenly Father for the benefit of those that we know, those that we don't know, our fears, our hopes, our aims. These are all one. We're all running for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, called in the one hope of our calling. Yes, we sing of our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes and our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, as soon we will, oh, may this mutual love encourage every fainting heart his zeal and faith to prove. And faith is a simple word. So often we take it for granted. But think of the faith of those ancient ones of old. Can we be as faithful? Be thou faithful, even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Because our glorious hope revives our courage every day, while each in expectation strives to run this heavenly way. Yes, how good is the blessing of fellowship of kindred minds. And how pleasant it is when all of these brethren can dwell together in unity, true in the natural home. How much more is it true in the house of God? And how sad when this is not so. Yes, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We have much need for unity. And this, of course, in the bonds of peace, not unity at any price, but it's unity of the Spirit, unity of the Word of Truth. We all have need of each other. Even as the smallest member of our natural body, one member can't say to another, I have no need of thee. And what wisdom there has been in the creation, particularly when we think of our own beings. For instance, we each have two eyes. What would happen if we lost an eye? Well, we could still see, but we wouldn't have the perception, the depth that we have when we have both members. For instance, have you ever thought of what it would be like if you only had one eye? Close one eye. Hold your finger out like this. Try to touch your nose. 9 times out of 10, you'll miss. But the point is, the perception, the insight, the vision, all of these are lost when we lose a partner in the body. Remember what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I love this chapter because it indicates how close each one of us are in the body. And in the 11th verse, the Apostle Paul says, "All these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And we know that the word Christ is a Greek word, and it means anointed. And so also is the anointed, the body. Are you members of the anointed class, the body? Have you come into Christ? Yes. "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether," Paul says, "we be either Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink that one Spirit." Dropping to the 18th verse, Paul tells us, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleaseth him." "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." No, we all have different functions. We can't all be hands. We can't all be feet. We can't all be mouths. But we can all function together. And that for the ministration of the gospel. And Paul goes on to say, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Just think of what that is. That which lacked gets more honor. What responsibility there is for each one. And the reason for this is that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Members in particular, you are participating members. I like the diglot on that. You are participating members in the body. One is your master, even Christ. Yes, and all ye are brethren. And so as we participate in this wonderful body, we are all to work together as one. And let us pray that it will always be so among those who are true blood brothers. In this one body, having an eye with a singleness, a purpose of pleasing the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. The psalmist continues by telling us that we are to dwell together as one. And as we have been gathered here for these past 3 days on the mountaintop, we do claim the promises that are ours, that have been given to us through the Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus and the apostles. And may the sessions that we have attended refresh us, continue to strengthen us in the ways of truth and righteousness, that we might go forth better prepared to fight the good fight of faith. Be prepared to lay hold on eternal life. Be encouraged and strengthened for these trying days ahead. And as we recall the things that we have heard, for the blessed things that are in store for us if we are found faithful, let us, as our brother and the Apostle Paul exhorts us, be alert and think on these things. Cherish the thought. Sweet thought. Cherish these things that we have heard. And as we close our convention, we think of a familiar prayer, one that was given by our Heavenly Father, our God, to Moses for the children of Israel, when he said, "The Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And then a final prayer in the words of the Apostle Paul, as we read them in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, when he says, "Now the God of peace, that brought from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
We certainly thank our Brother Brown for that closing remarks. The order of closing will be in this fashion, dear brethren. We will have a hymn of Brother Brown's choosing, which is number 1, and he will close prayer. And then we will sing hymn number 64. And then the chairman will close with a few words and a prayer. This is the saddest part of the convention, the goodbyes and the till we see each other again. But we have many good remembrances. Hymn number 1.
Thank you.
Again, our eternal and gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts before Thy throne of grace, we do thank Thee for the privilege that we've had of coming together to worship before Thee, to know more concerning Thee and Thy wonderful plans and purposes, to hear something concerning Thy dear Son and His great sacrifice and gifts for us. We do thank Thee also for the privilege that we have of coming to Thee and calling Thee our Heavenly Father. And as we wait before Thee, we do pray that we may ever be pleasing to Thee in the things that we do and say, and that Thou will forgive us when we come so far short of doing Thy will. Forgive us wherein we have said or done anything amiss this day. And we pray not only for ourselves here gathered, but once again, we do pray that Thou will be with those of our brethren the world over, those endeavoring to serve Thee in spirit and in truth everywhere. And as we depart from this place, we do ask that Thy providential overrulings will continue with us, that we may ever be found faithful in the doing of Thy will. And now, once again, and finally, we ask Thy blessing upon each one, and that Thy kingdom may soon come, and Thy will be done to end earth's weary night. These blessings we ask in the name and the merit of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends, we do not possess the eloquent description to describe the 3 days that we have spent together with each other and with the Lord dwelling among us. We were thinking of a description so that we could part with something that would hold us together. And the only thing that I can think of is we had so many blessings, let us individually remember one until we meet again together or with ourselves in our ecclesias and bring one good blessing to them through our fellowship. And I think that we have accomplished quite a bit. The Lord has been good to us. The Lord has blessed us beyond what we could ever expect and whatever we deserve. So, dear brethren, may the Lord keep and bless you individually. We want to thank all our brethren that participated on the platform. We want to thank the pianist, we want to thank the ushers, we want to thank the deacons, and even when the management, when we have the opportunity. It has been a pleasure to serve the brethren, and we know that the Lord will continue to bless us as we seek to do His will and to follow in the footsteps of our Master. So, dear brethren, bear these things all in mind, and then we will close with a prayer. We give Thee thanks for the privilege Thou hast given us to gather with those of such like precious faith and those that we hold so close and dear to our heart. Indeed, we pray that Thou will keep us in the palm of Thy hand and under the shelter of Thy wing until we meet again. We pray that Thou watch us as we travel to our various homes. Give us strength to bring the message that we have been privileged to hear to those that we love, those who are not able to be here with us at this time. Bless the efforts that have been spoken, bless the work that has been done to thy glory and honor. So, dear Father, we pray again in only one name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. We pray that thou wilt watch care over us until we meet again. In his name, amen.